Now in verse 5, he says, "For this ye know, that every fornicator, or unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Now, I think it's clearly understood that the unregenerate man who practices these sins, he has no portion in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, if a professing Christian practices these sins, he immediately classifies himself. To live in the corruption of the flesh is to place oneself beyond the pale of a child of God and to declare that he does not know the only true God in Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. My friend, if you engage in these sins here, then you can be sure of one thing. I don't care what your testimony is on Sunday, and I don't care what your position is in the church. You are saying to a lost world that you are not a child of God. Now, I do not know your personal relationship to God. Now, verses 6 and 7. "Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things is coming the wrath of God on the sons of disobedience. Become not then partakers with them." In other words, what Paul is saying is this: in view of the fact that the wrath of God will be poured out on the unregenerate because of these sins, it follows that the child of God cannot participate in them without incurring the displeasure and judgment of God. In other words, if he really is a child of God, God's going to judge you. He did David. David only stepped over one time, and God put the lash on his back and never took it off. And Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32, "But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Now, if you can sin as a child of God and get by with it, you're not a child of God. Why? Because God would have to then condemn you with the world. And that means you're not saved. Because your sin, whether you're a child of God or not, it's going to be judged. And if you're a child of God and you commit these things, God's going to take you to the woodshed right here and now. And if he doesn't, my friend, you're in a frightful condition. That means you're not his child, because he doesn't whip the devil's children at all. Now, verses 8 and 10. "For ye were once darkness, but now ye are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now, Paul reminds the believers of their former state prior to their conversion. They were not just in darkness, they were darkness. We say that the unsaved man is in darkness. My friend, he is darkness. Have you ever talked to one of them? May I revert back to the golf course? I was put one time. I went down to play by myself, and they put me with another man. He was an unsaved man. He was a bartender. And that man, I give you my word, he wasn't in darkness. He was darkness. My, what a life that man had. What an awful thing. Now, Paul here identifies the fruit of light. Rather, he marks out those characteristics which always accompany light. What is it? In all goodness, that means kindness. Righteousness means moral rectitude. And truth refers primarily to sincerity and genuineness. In other words, the believer is to prove or test his life in this manner to see if he's in the will of God and therefore well-pleasing to him. Now, somebody said to me when I said we're to walk in the light, as he's in the light, and that was meant to walk in the light of the Word of God. Somebody said, well, what does the Word of God says? Right here. You're to walk in kindness and in goodness and in righteousness, moral rectitude, and in truth and in sincerity. That's what it means to walk in the light, friends. And if you're not walking in the light, and that means 7 days a week, not just on Sunday, means 24 hours a day. And it means about 60 minutes every hour and 60 seconds every minute. And this is what it means to walk in light.